Hello and welcome to Our Site as we return to our series Back to the Bible. We have been giving an introduction to each book in the Bible, and in our series we have now come to the first letter of Peter. So if you have a Bible handy, please turn to 1 Peter in chapter 1. And I'd like to begin, though, with a little reading in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4. I've called our sermon this morning, as we have an introduction to 1 Peter, the big fisherman. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two others, brothers James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Christ Jesus, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ, and sprinkling by his blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Just so far, and may God bless his word to us this morning. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. The big fisherman. My wife Elaine and I have just had a wonderful time away with members of our family in the Eastern Cape of South Africa, a place full of memories for us, not only of our courting days in 1961, but for me, childhood memories of holidays of my grandfather's farm, fishing in the Sundays River, which bordered his farm, and then also on the Gamtoos River, near his holiday home at the coastal town of Jeffreys Bay. What amazing memories I have of those childhood holidays, coming down 3 days and nights by train from Zimbabwe, what was then Southern Rhodesia, to have holidays with Grandpa and my aunties and uncles of that era. Memories, how precious they are. The memories that each one of us cherishes, things that we remember so easily. In every person's life, there come times when something that is seen or something that's said or heard is like a key that unlocks the mind and lets in a flood tide of memories. Every one of us, either in this congregation this morning or listening to this audio, has experienced that, I know. I see a horse and my mind goes back to my riding days, galloping through the bush with Laddie, the serval cat we raised from a kitten, chasing like a miniature cheetah about 30 meters away from my horse. Memories, they come flooding back. I see a person walking, a man, and the way he walks, the slant of his shoulders. My late father walked like that. Memories, they come flooding back into our mind's eye, and the scene is before us, just like it was yesterday, and we're cleansed or rebuked, inspired perhaps, or amused, or convicted. Sometimes old wounds are opened up. For some it's a picture, the face of a friend, perhaps a lyric or the sight of children playing in the park. God has so many ways of making us remember. For Simon Peter, the big fisherman, it was the crowing of a cock. Simon was a man's man, a rugged, in-your-face kind of a guy, impetuous and impulsive, loud and raw, a fisherman by trade, the lake, the boats, the dragnet, the feel of spray on sunburned cheeks. This was the life of Simon. He was a lovable man who wanted to get all he could out of life. But his life had taken a turn when his brother Andrew barged into it with a new excitement written all over his face. "Simon," he said, "we have found the Messiah. Come and meet him." Simon would never forget that encounter. The look in Jesus' eyes, the tone of his voice, as he said, "So you are Simon. You shall be called Peter, a rock. Follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men." In the days that followed, Simon's regard for the Galilean rabbi grew in leaps and bounds. There was that day that Simon's mother-in-law lay sick in bed with a high fever, and Jesus bent over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She was healed and was able to serve a wonderful meal to Jesus and the disciples. Then there was the day, after a totally useless night of fishing, when Jesus came along to Simon and his partners and said, "Put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch." "Master," Simon said, "so great was the catch, the boats began to sink." Recognizing the presence of the divine, of Jesus, Simon said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid, from now on you'll catch men." Later, in a town not far away, a man covered with leprosy came to Jesus, pleading, "Lord, if you're willing, you can make me well." And Jesus said, "I am. Be clean." Immediately the leprosy was gone. There was all this in Simon's life and so much more. But now he was in the apostolic crucible. Now he was in the fiery trial. Now was the hour of darkness. Now the Son of Man was sweating great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. Now Judas Iscariot appeared in the night shadows and betrayed Jesus into the hands of a semblance of temple soldiers and guards who'd come to arrest him. Simon was confused and angry. Drawing out his short sword, he lashed out and cut off the ear of Malchus, a servant of the high priest in Jerusalem. Jesus healed the servant, told Peter to put his sword away, and allowed the rabble army to take him to Annas and Caiaphas, who was high priest that year in Jerusalem. And Simon now followed at a distance to see what would happen and who would let him in. And what of the chilling prospect of being arrested because of his association with Jesus? The Apostle John was there at the courtyard of the high priest's house. He was well connected and persuaded the guards to let Simon Peter into the courtyard. A fire had been kindled in the middle of the courtyard, and Simon joined the group, trying to blend in as he warmed his shivering frame. But a servant girl saw him seated in the firelight and blurted out, "This man was with him." But Simon denied it. "Woman, I don't know whom. I don't know him," he said. "Ah, Simon, Simon, what it could have destroyed your memory. You don't know him, Simon? Have you forgotten the wedding at Cana of Galilee? How he turned 300 liters of water into wine, the best you'd ever tasted? Have you forgotten, Simon, that day on the hillside where Jesus took bread and fish, just a little handful, a few loaves and fishes, and fed over 5,000, and the 12 basketfuls that were left over, one for each of the disciples, so that you'd never forget, I am the bread of life? Have you forgotten the healing of the crippled man at the pool of Bethesda, Simon? How you threw your head back and laughed when he went on his way, leaping and rejoicing? Well, a little later, someone else saw him by the fire in the courtyard of the high priest and said, You are also one of them. I saw you lash out at Malchus in the garden. But he said a second time, Man, I am not. Ah, Simon, not one of his disciples. Have you forgotten the impression that he made on you at Caesarea Philippi when you said, You are the Christ, the Son of the living God? Have you forgotten how you stepped out of the boat on a stormy lake and walked on the water? How could you forget that, Simon? Don't you remember the day at Lazarus's tomb where Jesus said to the people, No, where Jesus said to Lazarus, who was entombed, who'd been dead a few days, Lazarus, in a loud voice, Jesus said, Surely you remember, Simon, how Lazarus came out of the tomb, bound with the grave clothes, and Jesus said to you and to the others, Loose him and let him go. Jesus proved that day that he is the resurrection and the life. You went around telling everybody in sight what Jesus had done, Simon. Half an hour later, when Simon was just thinking the worst was over and he'd lied his way out of a threatening situation in the courtyard of the high priest, another person joined the group and looked at him and said, Certainly this man was with Jesus. You can hear by his speech he's a Galilean. Your accent gives you away, man. And Simon denied it a third time, saying, I don't know what you're talking about. Only this time he began to curse and to swear. All the old foul fisherman's blasphemies, all the old sailor's oaths, began to resurface and pour out of Simon's mouth like a vile artesian well, so that even the hardened soldiers were stunned into silence. A silence so intense that the crowing of a distant cock pierced the air like a bugle call. And Simon remembered. Yes, Simon remembered. Simon remembered the words of Jesus, Before the cock crows, you will have denied me 3 times. Right there and then, there was a shuffling in the courtyard, and Jesus was being led now to a meeting with the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leading council of 70. In fact, he was passing by at that very moment. Surely not. Yes, it happened. The Lord Jesus stopped momentarily, turned, and looked upon Simon, the big fisherman, who was crucified in shame. Simon lifted his head and looked into the eyes of Jesus, his Messiah. And who could ever describe what passed between them in those moments, the love that burned in Jesus' eyes for his fallen disciple? Not a word was said, none was necessary. Simon's great form was beginning to shake with sobs that wrenched his heart and began to pour forth in wails of repentance as he turned and fled weeping into the first light of day. Something died that night in the life of the big fisherman. It was the impetuous, impulsive, self-sufficient Simon. Peter was being born. Day was dawning. A new day was dawning for Simon, too. From the sands of shame, he would rise up to be a rock, just as Jesus said. That day passed eventually with the mockery of 3 religious and 3 civil trials, the vacillation of the Roman governor, the scourging of Jesus, and then his crucifixion. Simon watched from a distance, in dejection and disbelief, as Jesus was crucified. Simon was nursing his bitter shame. The next day was his longest Sabbath, but eventually that passed too. And then came the first day of the week, and with it, early in the morning, the strange tale of the women who had been to the tomb and found it empty, and seen an angel, who had said, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen as he said he would, and he's going ahead of you to Galilee." There followed a race with John the Apostle, a race to the tomb to find it empty. Jesus had risen. And then the appearance of the Lord Jesus, first to Mary of Magdala, then to the other women, and then to the two on the road to Emmaus, and then to Simon, and then to the 10, and a week later to the 11, Thomas with them. And Jesus showed Thomas his hands and his side, and challenged Thomas to put his finger in the wound as his hand, and in the wound in his side. And everybody there knew the Saviour is alive. Jesus has conquered death and the grave, and life can never be the same again. Life was also beginning anew for Simon, the big fisherman. Simon of the shifting sands would yet become Peter, a rock. A fortnight or so later, he and a handful of his friends were out fishing on the lake. They'd fished all night but caught nothing. But when morning came, there was a lone figure on the shore calling out, "Have you caught any fish? Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Find some indeed. They caught 153 of them. "It must be the Lord," the Apostle John said to Simon Peter. It was the moment the big fisherman had been waiting for. He leapt out of the boat and waded ashore, and John the Apostle gives us the most moving account of a backslidden disciple, a failing fisherman returning to his Lord, a prodigal saint returning to the Saviour. Simon Peter denied at a charcoal fire in the courtyard of the high priest's palace. He denied three times that he even knew Jesus. Now for each denial, Jesus asked a fresh pledge of love and then renewed his commission to Simon Peter. Turning Simon's attention from the fish and changing the metaphor to sheep, Jesus said three times, "Feed my lambs, take care of my sheep." A few weeks later, about 5 weeks later, it was Pentecost, the fulfillment of the ancient Jewish feast, when the Holy Spirit of God came from the ascended Jesus to fill the believers with power and ability. Peter the Rock was changed that day. He took the keys of the gospel of the kingdom, and he became, after Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus, the apostle who introduced his Lord and Savior to the Jews of Jerusalem and then to the Gentile nations of the world. From Jerusalem to Judea, from Judea to Samaria, and from Samaria to the world. When Simon's end came at the hands of his persecutors and he was martyred, he asked for the privilege of being crucified upside down. This is the story of the great fisherman, Simon Peter, whose letters we will look at over the next Sunday or two. What is your story this morning? As you have been listening to the story of the big fisherman, has your memory been jogged too? Perhaps God has jogged your memory, and you remember. Perhaps you remember a time when you walked very closely with the Lord, but you're not doing so at the moment. And God has jogged your memory, and Jesus is calling you back to full fellowship with himself. Perhaps once you were serving the Lord, but for one reason or another you've stopped serving the Lord, and your passion for Jesus has waned, and is almost gone. But now you have remembered the Christ who redeemed you, who saved you, who brought you such joy and newness of life when you first trusted him, and that Saviour is calling you back to full fellowship with him. What lessons can we take away from the big fisherman this morning? Well, here are several. You see, his life was radically changed when the ascended Jesus filled him with the Holy Spirit. Now things were different. Now when we turn to the Acts of the Apostles, it is Peter who is calling for the replacement of Judas Iscariot, who had been one of the 12, Acts 1, 14 and 15. Chapter 2 of Acts, it's Peter on the day of Pentecost who preaches the good news about Jesus, the ascended Christ, who is Lord of all. And as a result of his preaching about the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the crucified, risen Lord of glory, over 3,000 Jews repent of their sins, receive Yeshua, Jesus, as their Messiah, are baptized in the Holy Spirit and in water. And from then on, it's Peter. The big fisherman is changed. His life has been transformed through this filling of the Holy Spirit of Jesus. Now it's Peter who preaches in Acts chapter 2. Now it's Peter who is healing in Acts chapter 3. Now it's Peter who astounds the Jewish Sanhedrin in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 4, because although they recognize he's a somewhat uneducated fisherman, he has been in the presence of Jesus. And now it is Peter who brings the fear of God to the falsehood of man when Ananias and Sapphira lie to the Holy Spirit concerning their giving to the Lord's work. It is Peter who brings the fear of God into the lives of people. Now it is Peter, along with John the Apostle, who begins to extend the kingdom of God across cultural lines. When Philip the Evangelist takes the gospel of Jesus to the Samaritans, the half-Jews, who were considered beyond the pale by the Jews, the religious Jews, Philip the Evangelist preaches the good news about Jesus in a Samaritan town, and the whole town is filled with joy as people respond to the good news about Jesus. Now it is Peter, who needs a triple vision to deliver him from racial discrimination. He had denied 3 times that he knew Jesus. He had affirmed his love for Jesus 3 times on the beach by the lake, and now 3 times a sheet of non-kosher food is let down from heaven. And it is Peter who recognizes that God shows no partiality. With God there is no discrimination. The good news about Jesus is as much for Gentiles as it is for Jews. And while Peter is preaching the good news about Jesus in the household of a Roman centurion, the Holy Spirit comes upon the listeners, and they're all filled with the Spirit, just like the disciples, the Jewish disciples, were on the day of Pentecost. Yes, now it is Peter, who, though imprisoned, is set free by the Lord. Now it is Peter to whom gates of iron yield, and he is released from prison by an act of God and returns to the great commission of his master Jesus to keep on proclaiming the good news about Jesus. What lessons can we glean from the big fisherman this morning? Here are 4 that I'd like to leave with you from Peter the fisherman. Number 1, when you sense the call of God on your life, you'd best respond without delay. If Peter were alive and talking to you today, he would say, friend, when you sense the call of God on your life, you'd best respond without delay. Lesson number 1. Lesson number 2. The big fisherman shows us that discipleship, following Jesus, being a learner of Jesus, being one who so learns Jesus that he becomes like him and continues his work on earth. Discipleship, Peter would tell us, is more than a decision. It means a life of following Jesus, come what may. Lesson number one, when you sense the call of God on your life, you'd best respond without delay. Lesson number two, discipleship is more than a decision, friend. It means a life of following Jesus in obedience and trust, come what may. Lesson number three, failure need never be final when you're yoked to Rabbi Jesus. Whether your name is Jonah or David or Simon Peter, whether you're a farmer, an accountant, a doctor, a lawyer, or a fisherman, failure need never be final. The big fisherman would teach you that with Jesus, there's always a second chance, or a third, or a fourth. Failure need never be final when you're a follower of Jesus. He specializes in restoring fallen, broken disciples. And then finally, lesson number four. Simon Peter, the big fisherman, teaches us that the normal Christian life is a spirit-controlled, spirit-filled life. You live in the realm of the natural and the supernatural when you're a true follower of the Lord Jesus. The big fisherman shows that when the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, fills us, controls us, empowers us, enables us, counsels us, teaches us, convicts us, comforts us, when the Holy Spirit of God has possession of your life, Simon Peter would tell you, then you're living a normal Christian life. When you're filled and controlled by the Spirit of Jesus and are following his commands, obeying his commission, and becoming more and more like him in your character and in your life. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you that we can introduce the letters of Peter as we look at Peter himself, Simon of the Shifting Sands, who was transformed by Christ into Peter the Rock, the one who was given the keys of the kingdom, as it were, opened the gospel of the kingdom, proclaimed the gospel of the kingdom, the good news about Jesus, to Jews and to Gentiles, and was a channel of blessing to both. Thank you, Father, for the lessons that we can glean from this big fisherman, Simon Peter. Help us, Lord, that when we sense the call of God on our lives, we'll respond without delay. Help us to know that discipleship, following Jesus, is more than a decision of a moment. It means a lifetime of following Jesus, come what may. Help us to learn that failure need never be final when you're yoked to Rabbi Jesus. Whether your name is Jonah or David or Simon Peter, thank you, Lord, that as followers of Christ, failure need never be final. Thank you that Jesus is always there, and if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and to bring us anew into the fullness of spirit life. Thank you for showing us, Lord, through the big fisherman, that the normal Christian life is a spirit-controlled, spirit-filled life, that we live in the realm of the natural and the supernatural. And so we thank you, Father, for this wonderful letter of Peter, these two letters that you have given to us in the Bible, in the New Testament. And we pray, Lord, that as we meditate on the truths of these two letters written by the Apostle Peter, that we may learn more and more about Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, the communion and comfort of the Holy Spirit be with you all evermore. Amen. Christ alone.
what comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end, the love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, sing soul. God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing when Christ is ours forevermore.